today's topic, How You Can Have Radiant Health, with host Pastor Bill Tucker.
The desire of every person is to have good health. And yet, friends, there are so many that are unhealthy. Hospitals are still full of the sick and dying. We have more information today on how to be physically fit. And yet there are lifestyles of gluttony and fighting the bulge which affect the individual's state of health in mind, body, and soul. For the next several minutes, I'd like to share with you how you can postpone your funeral and enjoy radiant health here and now. Hello, friend. I'm Pastor Bill Tucker, and thank you for inviting me into your home. Before we get started, though, I hope that by now you have this book entitled The Search for True Study Guides. Let's turn to the book of John. That's 3 John. That's right in the very back of your Bible. I hope you have your Bibles close by. That's 3 John chapter 1, and we will look at verse 2. It says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. That's good news, isn't it? God wants you to have radiant health. He wants you to be able to postpone your own funeral. That's right, He does. Let's go back to the time when He gave some very important instructions to the children of Israel. Way back here in the book of Exodus, that's the second book of the Bible. Notice what He says here in the 15th chapter, and we're going to look at verse 26. It says, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Isn't that good? That's tremendous. What a wonderful promise we have right here in the Bible. And God here is telling you how you can postpone your own funeral. Now, some people might say, well, Pastor Tucker, what I eat, what I drink is my own business. And that's true. It is your business. You have a choice. But remember, the Bible also says that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6, verse 7. You see, God ordained some very fixed laws right here in His book. And I think that He has a right to do that as a creator, for He created us in His own image. And He's interested in each of us. There's laws of health for our bodies. And if we obey these, we're going to have good health, radiant health. Too many people are digging their graves with their forks, with their spoons. You know what I mean. Here's a way, though, that we can actually learn to postpone our own funeral and die of that disease called ripe old age. Here's the most important rule, principle, that I could give you today. It's found over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. What does it say? Whether you eat, whether you drink, how you dress, how you walk, how you talk, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. That's the most important principle that I could share with you today on how to have radiant health. Whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Now, there's an Old Testament gospel writer by the name of Isaiah who gives us this sound counsel, good counsel, here in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 2. It says, Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. But you say, well, Pastor Tucker, how can you tell what's good? Well, that's a good question. A dear friend of mine who has gone to his rest now, his name was Pastor Dedimore, told the story of how he and his wife went to China. They were guests at one of the mayor's home. We would say the headman's home or the tribal captain's home. They were seated there at a long table, and the host was at one end, right next to Pastor Dedimore, sitting right next to him. There was some very strange-looking dishes on the table he had not seen before. And to the people there in that country, it was a real choice delicacy. And what Pastor Dedimore saw, he'll never forget. And his wife sure didn't forget. You see, the headman took this wiggling white thing, a little mouse, white mouse, and had just been taken from its mama, dipped it into honey, and put it in the mouth, and down the hatch it went, legs kicking and all. Well, Mrs. Dedimore saw this sight sitting from across the table, and immediately it was too much, and she fainted. Pastor Dedimore said, that saved the day. I never had to eat that mouse, even though it was a choice delicacy. Yet we find that just because it was something for those people, that they enjoyed it, didn't necessarily mean that it was good. You see, people develop many different kinds of tastes. Down in South America, they have these little white grub worms, and that's a choice delicacy. How are you going to tell what is good to eat? Not by just the taste, oh no. I think we better go by some of God's laws. Don't you think that would be a better way to go? What He says is good for us? After all, He is the Creator. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, gives us some counsel on another item that is a big problem for many. It starts out by saying, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Remember that, my friend. Wine is not on God's list of good things. Wine is a mocker. It shouldn't be used. Intoxicating liquor is not to be used. All you have to do is see the effects of what it can do in society. People every day become victims because of strong drink. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 is another passage that we want to look at. It says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Well, that passage has quite a long list, doesn't it? I believe it makes it very plain that if you have a drink habit and you become intoxicated, you need to learn to have victory, how to have victory over this destroying habit, because the Bible makes it very clear, along many other things, that no drunkard is going to inherit the kingdom of God. You may ask, well, Pastor Tucker, is it wrong to smoke? You know, we've talked about drinking momentarily. And what about smoking? Is it wrong? You remember the Bible verse? Whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. I'd like to just list six reasons that I believe that will convince anyone that smoking is a sin. First of all, tobacco contains nicotine. It's one of the most deadly poisons known to science. And secondly, tobacco injures the health. Science has been establishing that fact now for many years. 1 Corinthians 3:17 says that if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And then thirdly, Tobacco defiles the body in violation of the commandment of God. There in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, remember it says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You see, friend, we don't really belong to ourselves. Why? Because we have been bought with a precious price. What a price! The very blood, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, God is saying to you and to me, glorify Him in your body and in your mind, which belong to Him. Fourthly, tobacco is a waste of money. I know one man and wife who spent $14,000 on tobacco alone. What did they get out of it? He had lung cancer. She had emphysema. What a terrible waste. When I walked into their home, they said, it would have been better if we would have just burned up the $14,000 than destroying our health and wasting all that money. What about you? Fifthly, tobacco is a fleshly lust that wars against the soul. 1 Peter 2:11. And then sixth, tobacco violates the command of God to come out from the world and be separate. He says, touch not the unclean thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. But you say, Pastor Tucker, how can I quit smoking? I smoked for years. Few people have found it successful just to taper down. Possibly you're addicted to the smoking habit. Well, let's just taper down a little bit on that word. You see that word up on the screen? It says habit. Well, let's cut off that H. And you still have a bit, don't you? Well, let's erase the A, and you still have bit. Let's erase the B, and what do you still have? You still have it, don't you? The habit is still there. Thousands of people have tried to taper down, and they just don't quit that way. There's one good way to get rid of the tobacco habit, and that's to cut it right at the very roots. That's the best place. Make the commitment. I choose to stop smoking. Make that choice now, friend. Remember, Christ and Christ alone is the real cure. For it says in Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." What is your need, friend? Do you need victory in your life? Victory in Jesus Christ? It says, "My God will supply all your need." There's another wonderful promise over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I'd like to say it again, and this time, put your name in it. I'm going to put my name in it. You put your name in that promise where you see the personal pronoun there. "But thanks be to God, which giveth Bill the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, which giveth Mary, which giveth John the victory." That's good news, isn't it? Where does our victory come from? He comes to us to give us victory. Yes, victory is wrapped up in Jesus. It comes from God, and millions have found His strength sufficient. And He can do it for you. I've had the privilege and the joy of sharing this blessed truth with so many people. I could share with you how people have struggled for years. One man was a 3-pack-a-day smoker. And he said, Bill, he says, I have tried to quit I don't know how many times, but I've gotten right back into that groove of smoking and I can't seem to get rid of it. I shared with him a very, very wonderful truth that when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, He promises to dwell within each of us. And when we recognize that fact, everything that we put into our lips, it's like we're putting it into the lips of Jesus. And I asked him, I said, can you picture yourself putting a cigarette into the lips of Jesus? He was horrified by that thought. He said, no, I couldn't do that. I said, well, friend, you'll not want to do it into your own lips then, because when Jesus is dwelling within you, as you've committed your life to Him, you're really putting it into the lips of Jesus. You know, that fact, that very fact, seemed to take hold in his life. And we claim the victory as we looked at these different promises. The ones that said, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. We put His name into it. And we prayed together. And what a joy it was to see victory in His life. I've seen both men and women who have been battling this habit for years. And then I've seen the joy on their faces. A new spring in their step. A new glow in their face. As they've had that victory and walk in victory because of Jesus Christ. The greatest reason, my friends, for you to stop smoking is because of what Jesus has done for you on Calvary's cross. And when that becomes the uppermost thought in your mind, I want to live to please my Master, you'll have a desire to stop. God can give you that victory. What about the right kind of food to eat? Let's go back to see what God said was the very best food for man. For that, we've got to go back to the book of beginnings here, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 29. Do you have it there? And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. So God is saying here, we're going to eat what foods He has created for us to eat. Fruits, nuts, grains, and vegetables were added. People say, I like my meat. I must have my meat. Well, friend, you will be interested to know that God never gave man permission to eat flesh food of animals until after the flood. That was 1600 years later. After the flood, God gave man the permission to slay the animals and to eat their flesh. But he was very particular to the point that there were certain animals that were still unclean, unfit for human consumption, for food. If God says a thing is not fit to eat, He must have a pretty good reason. He's not a harsh dictator. He's a loving Father. He's our Creator. All of His counsel is for our good. Remember that. The Bible promises that no good thing will He withhold from anybody that walks uprightly. That's Psalm 84, verse 11. So if God withholds a thing from us, it's because it's not good for us. Now, of course, no person can eat his way into heaven. I want that to be made perfectly clear. You see, even eating the food of angels will not entitle a person to paradise. Only the acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior can do that. But I'd like to share with you the fact that eating unwisely can lead a person to be lost because it can ruin their judgment, can cause them to sin. You know, I've heard people say, well, what about those unclean foods? Yes, they're listed right here in your Bible. And if you turn to Leviticus, chapter 11 and also in Deuteronomy chapter 14. It describes it. And we're going to look at verse 4. These are the beasts which ye shall eat. Then it mentions the ox, the sheep, the goat, the hart, the roebuck, the fallow deer, the wild goat, the pygarg, the wild ox, the chamois, every beast that parteth the hoof and cleaveth the cleft into two claws and cheweth the cud among the beasts that ye shall eat. Nevertheless, these ye shall not eat, of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the cloven hoof, as the camel, the hare, that's the rabbit, and the coney, for they chew with cud, but divide not the hoof. Therefore they are unclean unto you. And the swine, because it divideth the hoof, yet cheweth not the cud, it is unclean unto you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, nor touch their dead carcass. Notice it mentions even the swine, not to be used, the pig. Why? Because it divides the hoof, yet it does not chew the cud. It's unclean unto you. In fact, swine's flesh is full of poison. I've been told by those who work with the swine, they have such poison in their bodies that they require a second sewage disposal system just to get rid of their own poison. They've got these tubes that run through their bodies and out their hoofs, and if they ever get plugged up, they die because they are poison. Let's look at the creatures of the sea. Verse 9 and 10, it says, these ye shall eat of all that are in the waters, all that have fins and scales shall ye eat, and whatsoever hath not fins and scales ye shall not eat. It is unclean unto you. So you can see which fish are all right to eat. It must have fins. It must have scales. So clams, shrimp, that'd be out. Octopus, lobster, all of those things are not clean. Then verse 11 and 12 says, of all clean birds ye shall eat, but these are they of which ye shall not eat. The eagle, the ostrich, the osprey, and the glade, the kite, the vulture after his kind. Can we imagine eating buzzard soup? I don't think so. You know, it finally lets us know that we should be thinking about only those things which are created and made for us to partake of. See, all of these things that are mentioned are not good for food as far as good for us, is because these were created and made to be nature's vacuum sweepers. That's right. I believe that if we follow this line of thought from God's Word, eating only those things which are good to eat, leaving off the things that are unclean, the hog, the squirrel, the rabbit, the catfish, the eel, the lobster, the clam, the shrimp, will be in better stead, because, after all, God is our Creator. He would know what was best for us. Well, I can hear somebody saying right now, you know, I like my pork chops. I like my ham sandwich. Is God going to destroy me if I eat it? Well, that sounds kind of harsh. But let's let the Bible speak for itself, as we tried to do in all of our studies together. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 66, verse 15 through 17. And this is what it says, for behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire, by his sword, will the Lord plead with all flesh. And then it says, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. You can be sure, friend, I personally have made a choice. I do not want to eat any abominable thing. I do not want to partake of anything, including swine's flesh, that would not only harm my body, would desecrate what God had created and made to be a glory to Him. The Bible is positively clear on this, that those who would rationalize in their own minds and say, what I eat is my own business, what I drink is my own business, what I do is my own business, you know, that can destroy us in the end. It's an abomination unto the Lord. And I believe that when God says to leave something alone, He has good reason to do it. I believe He means what He says. What about you? You might say, well, Pastor, didn't this law of clean and unclean animals originate at Sinai? Isn't it for just the Jews alone? Didn't it end at the cross when Jesus died? I've heard that said before. I'd like to say right here and now, no, my friends. All the animals by their very nature have been either clean or unclean right from creation. You see, Noah was not a Jew. But he knew of the clean and unclean animals because he took into the ark the clean animals by sevens and the unclean animals by twos, according to Genesis chapter 7. And Revelation 18 refers to the unclean birds still existing just before the coming of Jesus Christ in the clouds of glory. So my friends, the death of Jesus had no adverse effect on these health laws, because the Bible says that all who break them will be destroyed when Jesus comes at His second coming. Remember, there's no scientific evidence that a Jew's stomach is different from a Gentile's. Christ's death on Calvary's cross did not clean up the pig either. Why, it's still just as biologically filthy now as it ever was when Jesus died. He died for your sins and mine. He did not die for the pig. He died that you and I can be clean through Him. And all of these health laws are His laws, really. They're for all people for all time. But Pastor Tucker, doesn't it say in the New Testament someplace that every creature is good and nothing to be refused? Well, let's look at it. That's found over here in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to be looking at verse 4 and 5. And it says, for every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Every creature, it says, is good. All animals that have been created as clean are to be received, it says, with thanksgiving. Well, if you want to be technical about it, that could include humans too, right? But it says it's sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Now, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that some animals are clean, some animals are unclean. So you'll find that by reading Deuteronomy chapter 14, which we just did, also in Leviticus chapter 11. So here it says it's going to be sanctified by what? The Word of God. And what does the Bible say? I think, friends, you get the point. You may say, well, didn't Jesus Christ cleanse all the animals according to Peter's vision as recorded in Acts chapter 10? Well, that's just another example that people throw at those who are seeking to follow what God's Word has to say. They throw all of these stumbling blocks. But really, they're not stumbling blocks when you actually get the facts. The facts of that vision is not about animals at all. In fact, you can actually see what it says there in that chapter. You'll notice that it's discussing people, not animals at all. God gave Peter this vision to show him that the Gentiles were not unclean as the Jews believed. See, Cornelius was a Gentile. He had sent some men to get Peter and bring him back to his house and teach his folks there and his family. Well, when Peter came into Cornelius' house, this is what Peter said to the large group that was there. Let's look at it. If you have your Bibles, let's not just talk about it. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. And we're going to look at verse 28. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. You see, God has showed me that I should not, what? Call any man common or unclean. Friend, the vision on the housetop was to help Peter to be willing to go to the Gentiles with the gospel. That's why God used that vision of all those unclean beasts to let Peter know what he needed to do. But Pastor, I've lived this way for so long, doing so many of these things the wrong way. And I have all of these habits that are so difficult to get over. I could never gain the victory over drink or tobacco or in eating all of these things. At my age, it's just so difficult to do it. Remember the promise, my friends, the promise of God in Philippians 4:13. There it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Put your name in it. Bill can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth Bill. Makes that promise come alive, doesn't it? How many things does he say there in that passage? Just some things? No, it says all things. That means all areas of our lives. Friends, take these things to Christ. Lay them at His feet. He'll give you the power that you need to break any evil habit. How thrilling and how heartwarming it is to know that through God, all things are possible. Finally, Jesus said, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You know, Jesus longs to break the shackles, that yoke that binds you, to set you free. Let's give Him a chance to do this in our lives. What do you say? You know, He'll take your worries, any habits that you might have, even the nervous tensions, the fears. He'll take it all away if we'll only be willing to follow Him, follow His bidding. Because of His great love for you and the supreme sacrifice that He's paid for you, friend, I invite you to choose Christ today. Choose to eat and drink and live to the glory of God. What do you say, friend? Let's do it today. Find radiant health today, peace of mind, a joy that's everlasting. Just say, Father, create in me a clean heart. Father, this is what we long to be. We want to be clean, clean through and through. Do it just now in each of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.